The reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Thank you, Mark, for reading this, that, and is it evening or morning? Still evening? I want to say good morning. Then I can say Merry Christmas. Morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Let me pray before we think about the reading that Mark just brought to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the unusual privilege of gathering together at this time of the day. And whether it is technically evening or morning, it's not a time where normally we come together to worship you in this way. But we thank you for the privilege of doing it now. And now, I don't know everyone who's here this evening, and as I look out, I can't see anything in this darkness, but you know exactly who we are and why we're here. You know exactly what we've been going through in life. And I pray that for all of us tonight, you might, just in the next few minutes, help us see the difference Jesus makes to everything. And so whatever we've been going through, thinking about, feeling any kind of way towards, please work in us this evening by your Spirit, so that we might come to a deeper understanding and thankfulness for all that Jesus has done. For we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, whether it's evening or morning, it's a good one, and it's nice to see you. I can't really see you, but it's a pleasure to be with you for this midnight service. The midnight service is always kind of unique. I think there's a different kind of feel to it from all the other services that we have at St. Stephen's. And I'm aware that there are some for whom it's their first midnight service. If that's you, a special welcome. For the regular ones, you're wired differently. I don't know why you like this kind of service, but some of you do. And the Lord bless you for that. If you're not a regular at St. Stephen's, you might not know that the theme of the Christmas services for St. Stephen's this year is Light in the Dark. So every year at St. Stephen's, we have a kind of tagline. We have a theme that runs through the services, and we try to link everything to that theme. And for 2025, it's Light in the Dark. I've got to say, I think this theme works best at this service. Agreed? Firstly, not everyone agreed with me, so let me prove it to you. It's dark. And there are lights. So you can literally see light in the dark. That's not going to work as well tomorrow morning. It didn't work as well for the Lessons and Carols service. It works really well for this particular service. But more than that, can I tell you why the theme works best for the midnight service? There's in most of the Christmas services that go on, it can be hard to remind people that we as human beings live in the dark. That's the truth about human beings. We live in the dark. This world is not as it's supposed to be. But there are times in life when you can kind of forget that. You kind of don't think about it too much. And Christmas services is one of those times. Because nearly all the other Christmas services are almost exclusively upbeat. That's often because they're filled with children and young ones, and they are the ones who get the most excited at the prospect of Christmas. And so, at those services, celebration, joy, glad tidings, that's the name of the game. So very optimistic, very upbeat, people forget that we're in the dark. But the reality is that Christmas is not always a time of joy and celebration. especially for those of us who are not young or young at heart anymore. There are some years where Christmas is precisely the exact moment when you realise what's missing or who's missing. It's the time of the year when exactly the pressure of what we don't have or the failure of the things that we haven't achieved are felt most acutely. And whether those feelings come from personal circumstances and things that we've gone through and are only known to us, or whether they spring from more general public things like the tragedy at Bondi only 10 days ago, the truth is that whatever's behind it, Christmas can be a very lonely and difficult time when you know you're in the dark. And so there's something about the midnight service that I think sets us up perfectly for this theme, for light in the dark. There's something about the midnight service that's a little more somber, a little more serious. It's a bit more like it's in a minor key, not a major key. I threw that out for the musicians. And so we can more easily recognise that we're in the dark and we need the light of Jesus. So I think light in the dark works well as the theme for this midnight service. Anyway, Merry Christmas. I'm glad you've come along to tonight. Hope you're feeling upbeat about it all. Actually, I don't apologise for that, because I do think that one of the problems people can have with Christmas is they reflect on it based on their feelings. And so if they're heading into Christmas feeling upbeat and positive, they look forward to Christmas. But if they're feeling gloomy or been feeling the weight of life or the struggles or pain or difficulty of life, then they dread Christmas and they're not looking forward to it. But the thing I want to do more than anything else just in the next few moments is remind you that actually our feelings heading into Christmas are not the key thing. Christmas itself is the key thing. It's an objective thing that we've got to examine under its own merits, not just based on our feelings. So Christmas is the thing to think about. Is it worth anything, whether we're feeling upbeat or low? And I can tell you the good news is, it is. Christmas is not just good news, it's the best news, regardless of how you and I are feeling as we approach it. Whether you or I feel excited or lousy heading into tomorrow or today, optimistic or pessimistic, hearty or heartbroken, confident or hanging on by a thread, the truth of Christmas, the truth of Jesus coming, is such good news that it changes everything else. I'd contend that you can see how important Christmas is from the reading that Mark read to us before. If we can have that reading up behind me, have a look at the things that go on at the time that Jesus was born. There's a lot that we might describe as strange and unusual that happened at the birth of Jesus Christ. Even in the Bible, where you do sometimes come across the supernatural and the miraculous, even by those biblical standards, the events surrounding the birth of Jesus stand out as in a class of their own. There are weird things that happen. For many people, it sounds more like fairy tales than the stuff of reality. Have a look at the reading, verse 18. Mary's found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That's odd. This is a virgin who's pregnant, pregnant by the Lord. In verse 20, we have an angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in a dream. Again, not normal. And at the end of verse 20, it again says that the child has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew, who wrote this gospel, must want us to bear this in mind. Verse 22 says that the birth fulfills prophecies that were hundreds of years old. Verse 23 makes explicit again that Mary is a virgin as she gives birth. What are we to make of these strange things that happened at the birth of Jesus? And that's without getting into the moving star or the angel appearing to the shepherds that are in the other Gospels. And what about the names the baby's to be known as? Verse 21, they're to call the baby Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And verse 23, he's going to be known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. Are we expected to believe these things? Virgin births conceived by the Holy Spirit, angels in dreams, a baby who will save people from their sins, and this baby is apparently God with us. Surely we can't take this stuff seriously. Well, friends, my challenge tonight is believe it all or reject it all. That's the choice you have with the Christmas story. If you think it's fairy tale stuff, why waste your time with it? If it's all figurative or metaphors, I'd encourage you to give it up. But if it's truth, then it's so significant you and I must believe it and live for it. I want to focus on the second name of Jesus just for a moment. That's there in verse 23. That's the Emmanuel one, God with us. Because if that's true, I believe everything else falls into place. If this baby that arrived, this Jesus who was coming, is truly God, it all makes sense. If the baby was God, is it surprising that a few things out of the ordinary marked his arrival? Virgins don't normally give birth. I concede that point. Angels don't often appear in dreams in this way. I accept that. But God's only come once as a human being. So if on the time of his arrival, odd things happen to mark that arrival, doesn't it make sense? If you go to a sports game and it's two colleges playing against each other, not normally much happens of great significance or importance around it. But if you go to the All Blacks playing, or you go to a Rugby World Cup final, then greater things happen to signify the importance of the event that's going on. God's only come once. Wouldn't it be surrounded by things that are incredible? Rather than see them as exaggeration or embellishment, see them as totally appropriate to match the significance of this birth. And then think about what it means that God came to be with us in Jesus. I think that changes everything. Jesus' coming shows us that God is not leaving us alone in the dark of this world, not leaving us alone in this fallen world where broken promises and sickness and loneliness and betrayal and death play such awful parts. There's a huge amount to love in this world, a huge amount to love in this life, but there's also so much wrong with it. And God coming in the baby Jesus, the one who would grow up and show us God and then die in our place and win a different future for us, God coming in Jesus means that this world with the so much wrong with it is not the end for us. Christmas ultimately is not about losing retail days or public holidays. It's not about stockings or presents. It's not even about the more important, significant things like families and get-togethers and general love. It's about something far more important and vital. It's about God with us. It's not about us being random individuals with no meaning, but you and I having a creator and him having a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Christmas is about God not just letting us go on by ourselves and washing his hands of us, but him coming to us to wash us clean. Christmas is about God not just leaving us in the dark, but him as the light of the world coming down to show us the way. It's about him coming down to us to make sure that this broken world is not the end, but there's a greater future ahead for us. Christmas is about all this, and it's true, no matter how we feel about Christmas as we approach it. The baby in the manger grew up to be the man on the cross. God came to die for us so that we might be forgiven our sins, as the name Jesus spoke of, and our future be secured. And we'll remember that in a few moments as Joel leads us in the Lord's Supper. Significant, isn't it? Every religion in the world is about human beings trying to climb to God. We try to climb, grasp our way up to be with him. And it's always based on what we do and what we forego. Christianity alone is about a God who comes down to us. Comes down to us to do what we're unable to do. And I hope, friends, that will be an encouragement for you this Christmas. Christmas reminds us that things are not out of hand, that God has come to us, that there is light in the dark, and that light will one day overcome the dark and banish it. You and I are not alone. Our lives are not meaningless. God came as a baby to grow and die for you as a man. And he did that to make sure that you have an eternal, unshakable, guaranteed future. So I don't know how you're feeling about heading into Christmas tomorrow. I don't know how you're feeling about 2025. Some of you, I'm sure, will be feeling pretty positive and excited. Some of you may be feeling a little less so and a little more glum. But actually, in the end, it doesn't really matter how you and I are feeling heading into Christmas, because the key thing is not our feelings, but that Jesus came to us, God with us, and that changes everything. And of course, if it's true, there's nothing more important, therefore, than living for him. And some of us may need to change our direction or priorities in the light of that. Remember what I said before, as I said, as I come to a close, it's this stuff is all either fairy tales, in which case you can dismiss it and carry on living your life as you are, or else it's truth, and not just a truth, the truth, and therefore we should believe it and live for it wholeheartedly. The coming of Jesus changes everything. So, not so much a Christmas sermon this year, more a Christmas challenge. If this is true, and it is, then this is what should shape our lives. This is what should direct our priorities. This is what you and I should live for, not just 2026, but for eternity. Living for the light of the world, the light in the dark. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of Jesus. We thank you for all that it means. We thank you for the incredible truth that so often we forget or it just loses its significance, that you came down to us because of your love and because of your grace. And so I do pray that tonight, each one of us who are here might recognize that truth, be thankful for the Lord Jesus and the difference that he makes, and that you would help us live fully lives devoted to him. We thank you for the difference he makes in everything. We pray these things in his powerful name. Amen.